I noticed the word father appears in the dictionary just before the word fatigued and just after the word fathead. So, you know, I just had, you know, me. It made me chuckle too, so I have to say, so to all of us fathers who are somewhere between fatigued and fathead, happy Father's Day. You know, I can't overemphasize the influence, the role of a father in the family. You know, according to a survey, if a child receives Christ first in the family, there's a 3.5% probability that the rest of the family members will be saved. And if a mother receives Christ first in the family, the probability of the household getting saved goes up to 17%. But if the father is saved, the probability of the family to receive Christ is 93%. Isn't that something? That shows how significant the father is in the family and the influence that the father has in a family. I believe that fathers, in order to have that great influence, we must imitate Christ in order to be a positive influence on our families. We have to seek God. We have to imitate Christ. Fathers must imitate Christ in order to be that positive influence on the family and on society. We are the example. The ultimate goal of salvation is to become like Christ. That's the ultimate goal of all of our relationship, not just fathers. Though Jesus never had any physical children, He is the perfect role model for all of us. And I believe that this world right here desperately needs fathers who imitate Jesus Christ. Amen. We have fathers who imitate everything else, but we need fathers who imitate Christ. Fathers must imitate Jesus in their lives, and fathers, we must love like Jesus loved. We've got to. John 15:13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends, for his family, for his kids. Jesus demonstrated His love for God and for others by dying on a cross for all of us. Fathers, we must also love God and others. Matthew 22:36-40 says, teacher, which is the greatest command in law? And He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And this is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You should love your neighbors as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets are built on those two scriptures. Love God and love people. Greatest commands. Fathers, we must give attention to God's instruction. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 1, it says this, hear, my children, the instruction of the Father, and give attention to know and understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, He also taught me, and He said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commands and live. You know, as a good father instructs his children, so too God wants to instruct us. Instruction carries with it reproof and connection. Two things none of us like, but we need. And that's instruction. That's you know, to have an obligation to obey. You know, if we do not obey, how can we learn? Where does the wisdom come from? But it takes pain and it takes effort to gain that. Just like an athlete that, a strong athlete, he grows stronger with the sacrifice that he makes when he exercises. And, it takes a sacrifice. We know people who go to the gym. They get up early, at 4 o'clock or 4:30 in the morning, and they go to the gym and they work out before they go to work. And man, they just get obsessed with it. I mean, I know people that's, they're drinking all kinds of drinks and they're eating the right foods and they just go all out for it. And the result of that is they get this, six-pack abs. I don't mean six-pack others, but I mean six-pack of abs. That creates a whole different look. But their body is sculpted and shaped in a way, and they're what I'm saying? But it takes effort. We don't get that way without an effort. It's the same way with God. It takes a sacrifice. It takes an effort to be in His Word. And God always gives that which is good, His doctrine and His law, with no exception. And there in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 5 and 7, it says, Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. That's a mouthful, isn't it? He refers to wisdom as she. If you want wisdom, you got to decide to go after it. You got to seek wisdom, and wisdom only comes from God. It will take effort to obtain it. It will take resolve and determination, but do not abandon the search once you begin it. So many people, they get tired, and they just like exercise. Man, there's a lot of people, boy, they take off, they got a new exercise program, and they do good at first. Man, they're all in, but then pretty soon, it kind of all stops, right? They lose heart. They quit. They quit putting the effort in it. And it takes determination, and soon they abandon their efforts. The Scripture talks about how the road is long, and it takes a lifetime to travel. We're on this road of life, and it takes all of our life to travel it, doesn't it? That makes sense? It's not a once-in-a-lifetime step, but a daily process of choosing to serve God or not, choosing to seek God's wisdom or not. It's an everyday battle. It's an everyday effort. God's way or the way of the wicked, but there's nothing more valuable or nothing more important than God's way. And even though wisdom is a principal thing, what good is it without understanding it? So many people read it, but they're like, I don't get it. Well, you have to seek it to get it. To be wise, you have to be wise, and to have no common sense really is foolishness, isn't it? A person can be highly educated, yet still do stupid things. Really? A person can be a professor at a university with all kinds of diplomas hanging on the wall, yet have no fear of God, and when it is all said and done, really at the end of their life, what value is that? I was very honored when I was offered the master's program at Olivet. I got a letter stating they offered me the master's program, and I'm thinking, I'm 55 years old. It will cost me some money. It will cost me a lot of effort to gain that. But when I look at it, what value will it be to me? Will it be worth having this diploma on the wall stating that I have a master's degree? I think about things like that. It's the same thing that I'm talking about this morning. Is it worth the value? Proverbs 4, 8, 9 says, exalt her, meaning wisdom, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor. When you embrace her, she will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Proverbs 4, 8, and 9. You know, I look at these two verses. The two verses are a conditional statement. If you exalt wisdom, wisdom will promote you. If you exalt wisdom, wisdom will bring you honor. If you promote wisdom, wisdom will cover your head with an ornament of grace. Wisdom will crown you with glory. And wisdom will deliver you. Amen?
Amen.
The Holman translation says it like this: cherish her, and she will exalt you. If you embrace her, she will honor you. She will place a garland of grace on your head, and she will give you a crown of beauty. Whatever else we do, the importance is to embrace wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 10 and 13, it says, hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom, and I have led you in the right paths. And when you walk your steps will not be hindered. And when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go, and keep her, for she is your life. Proverbs 4:10 and 13. You know, if we follow wisdom, she will teach us to walk in righteousness. And true wisdom will teach us to keep out of the embarrassing situations that we find ourselves in. You know, the fear of God will lead a person to live an upright and honest life. There's many traps and snares that this world throws at us all the time. But if you take a firm hold on wisdom, she'll never let you go. She is your life. Fathers, we must not take the path of the wicked. In Proverbs 4, 14 through 17, it says, do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they make someone else fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. You know, even your friends can make you fall. Listen to me this morning. It's easy to submit to pressure, and it's easy to fall into that trap. Many people who want to be accepted would never confront or criticize a friend for bad plans or misguided actions. You know, why we should be accepting of others. And I tell you, we've got to accept others, and we've got to love people where they're at. But we still can't walk with them in some of the ways that they walk. Because it's easy to fall into that trap. It's easy to find yourself following them instead of them following you out of the darkness. And so I say, I challenge you, when you feel heavily influenced, and there's times that we all do feel that way, proceed with caution and do not let your friends cause you to slip and fall into sin. Don't be a stumbling block for somebody else either. The Scripture talks about that. It's so easy to be that way. Christ is to be our way. Christ is to be our truth, and Christ is to be our life. We're to follow after Him. We are to seek His wisdom. And we're supposed to make Him our life. Christ, our life. I say this often, but Christ, for us that call ourselves Christians, that's what that really means. We are Christ followers. When we use that word, sometimes I think we use it in a way that really is in vain. But when we use that word, it should mean that our life is, we are a Christ follower. He is our way, He is our truth, and He is our life. We should want to seek His way above all other ways. And let me tell you, there's all other ways in this world we live in today. Everybody thinks there's another way. There's always an easier path. There's an easier road. But Jesus says, no, I am the way. If you want to get to the Father, you have to follow after me. I am the way. People want the easy path. People want the easy road. But let me tell you, it's not easy sometimes to follow Christ. It's not. Sometimes following Christ means following Christ to the cross. The path of the wicked leads to death and destruction, and it is a path that leads to darkness. And let us keep our hearts pure with all diligence. Fathers, we must stay on the straight path. In Proverbs 4:18 and 19 it says, "But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." You know, probably the most important word in the Bible is but. Things can be going all wrong and in a wrong direction, but they can be changed. They can be changed around. The wages of sin is death, the Scripture says, but the free gift of God is eternal life. We should never discount the word but when we see it in the Bible, the path of the wicked is headed down the road of destruction, but there is a path that of the just that leads to another destination, and that's in God Almighty. Amen?
Amen.
A life of light. One writer says it like this, "The way of evil men may seem pleasant, but it is still an evil way." I like that. Christ is, you know, He's told us that He is the way and He is the light, and the way of sin is darkness and the way of wicked is dangerous. We should have, you know, and that's why we should avoid it at all costs. We should avoid it at all costs. Keep your heart in tune with God. Fathers, we must set a strict guard upon our souls. Proverbs 4:20-27 says, "My son, give attention to my word. Incline your ear to my sayings and do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look before, right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil." Notice this passage of Scripture. It illustrates all the parts of the body. There in verse 20, the ear. In verse 21 and 25, the eyes. Verse 21 and 23, the heart. Verse 24, the mouth. And 24, the lips. The 25 is the eyelids. And 26 is the feet and foot. So what this tells us in is that the whole body needs to be involved in resisting evil. We can't let one part of it, and that's why Jesus said, you know, if your right hand or if your hand offends, you know, causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye, you know, causes you to sin, gouge it out. Man, that's a pretty wild notion, isn't it? But what he's saying is this, you've got to guard yourself and not let any part of your body cause you to sin or to stumble. You have to guard it. You have to be cautious. You know, if a snake bites you on the finger, it affects the whole body, doesn't it? It's not just the finger that it affects. It really takes more than just listening to God. It takes more than just listening to the Word. And as James says, we can't just be hearers of the Word. We have to be doers of the Word. There was a reason why he said that. It was for this reason that I'm talking about this morning. It's not the things that we do. It's not the works that gets us to heaven. But it's what guards us and what keeps us on the right path when we're doing the things for God. Then our path is in the right direction. We can get distracted. And that's why I said, don't look to the right or look to the left. You've got to keep your eyes focused on the right forward. Years and years ago, that's why they put blinders on horses when they were on carriage and buggies and in plow. You know, when they plow. On plow horses, they put blinders on the sides of them because they didn't want them to look left or right, to get distracted by what they were doing. They wanted them to go straight down the row. That's what the Scripture's telling us. Don't look left, don't look right. And it's so easy in this world we live in today to get distracted by all the garbage. Whether you're looking left or you're looking right, that was backwards to me, but correct for you guys. You know, and I'm not getting into politics here this morning, but I'm just saying, all this stuff, we don't fight against cultural things. We don't fight against politics. We don't fight against those things. Those things are not really what's important. What's important is God. What's important is we continue to follow Christ and keep Him front and center in our lives. And we got to make sure that our feet do not travel down the road of evil. And may our hearts be kept pure at all cost. Man, what is it for you? What is all cost for you? What is it that we, you know, all of us have that thing that we have to give up? And that's what it means. At all costs, we give those things up that may not be really a horrible thing, but we know it leads us away from God. And those are sometimes the things we have to give up. Sometimes they can lead us to sinful things, but you know, it's easy to get distracted. It's easy to get caught up in things of this world. The Scripture says that we need to be careful that no filth comes out of our mouths. That may there never be any unkind words that come out of my mouth. And may my lips never, never curse another. That's a challenge, isn't it? It really is. That's a challenge. Matthew Henry said like this, we must act with steadiness, caution, and consistency. I think this is really great advice. I think it's really great advice for us fathers, and it's really great advice for all of us this morning. Let us be the fathers that God teaches us to be. Let's not be the fathers that this world wants us to be. Let us be the fathers that God wants us to be. Hosea 6:3 says this, let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge Him. As surely as the sun rises, He will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains, like the spring rains that water the earth. I love that. Just as we know that winter will come, just as we know that summer will come, just as we know that the spring rains will come, God is our Father, and we can let His Spirit live through us in a way that is natural and a natural reflection of who Christ is. And that's what He's called us to do. When people see us, they should see Christ in us, that light that shines. It should be natural in our lives. Our lives should become aligned with His truth, and this truth naturally expresses itself. It expresses itself outwardly in all the things that we do, all the things that we say, when we align ourselves with Him. And that's how the world knows that we love God, is by how we treat the world. How we love one another as well. People know us because we love one another. And that means we love one another in the good times and we love one another in the bad times. It should be natural to all of us. So let us press on this morning. Let us press on to know Him more deeply. Let us press on to know Him more personally. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, so much. Lord, I know I've not always been perfect. I've not always said the right things. I've not always done the right things. But Lord, I press on to know You more. Lord, I want to know You more. I want to follow Your ways. I want people to not see the old Randy anymore. I want them to see You in me. Lord, help me today. Help us all today, Lord, to be that reflection of You in all that we do, in all that we say. Lord, let us not be ashamed of the gospel. And let us leave here better than we came, knowing that You love us and You are the good, good Father. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.